We're on page Samach Aleph from Midbeis, in the middle of the page, where it says Tan Rabbanan. Okay, last thing we're learning, why by Shema it says B'chol Avavcha, B'chol Nafshcha, B'chol Meidacha. So it says, if it says B'chol Nafshcha, why does it say B'chol Meidacha, which means all your money? So it says certain people love themselves more than their money. Some people love their money more than themselves. So the Torah says, either way, you have to love Hashem. And Rabbi Kiva says, even if neitelas nafshecha, even if they take your life, for Yiddishkeit, you have to do it. Mm-hmm. That's where we're up to now. Tan Rabban, Rabbanon learned. Bamachas, one time, Gazer Malchus Rasha, the Roman government, the Gemara calls it the wicked government, but it's the Romans, made a decree, Shle Yisaski Yisrael Bateira, that the Jews should not learn Teira. This is a very, very famous mushal of Rabbi Kiva coming up. The Romans made a decree, you can't learn Torah. Bob Papas ben Yehuda, so Papas ben Yehuda came, umatza the Rabbi Kiva, and he found Rabbi Kiva, shayimakel kehilas berabim, that he was gathering publicly the Jews, but Isaac, but Torah, and he was learning Torah, even though the Romans decreed, not with death. Amaleis, he said to him, Akiva, yata misyarim ibn amalchus, are you not afraid of the government? I mean, they threatened to kill you, what are you doing? Amaleis, Rabbi Kiva said, this is the probably one of the most famous parables in Torah. Em shaloch mashal, I'll give you a parable. Ma'ad of a diamond, what am I doing? What is this similar to? The shul shoya mahalech al-gav v'nohot. A fox was walking alongside the river. V'roa dogim shoya miskapsim imokim lamokim. And he saw the fish were gathering from place to place, meaning they were constantly running. Amalehem, so the fox said to the fish, "Mipnei ma'atem barchim? Why are you running away?" Amr alei, so he answered back, "Mipnei rishosis shemevin aleinu b'nei adam. We're running away from the nets of the fishermen. The fishermen are trying to catch us, and we're running away." Amr alehem, so the fox said to the fish, "Ritzeinchem shetalu liyabosha? Do you want to come up on the dry land? V'godad ani va'atem, and we'll dwell together." Just like your parents, the fish's parents lived with the parents of the fox. So basically what the fox wanted was to eat fish. So he said, maybe you'll come up on the dry land. So the fish said to the fox, "Atahu, are you the one? Are you the one that they say the most cunning of all the creatures?" The fox is the most cunning of the... They say, "Are you the most cunning of the creatures? You're not clever. You're foolish. You're not smart. You're a fool. Why? What if in the place where our life is, meaning in the water, we're afraid? In a place where we're for sure going to die. Allah has come and come. How much more so?" So the fish said, basically in simple English, while we're in the water, we have a chance of getting caught or not. But if we come out, we're for sure dead.
Yeah, alive.
So, the same thing, Afanachnu, Rabbi Kiva said to this Popes ben Yehuda, Afanachnu, the same thing, us. Achshav shanu yeshem v'eskim b'teira. Now, while we're sitting and learning Teira, said that it says, ki hu chayacha, that this is our life. V'eirich yemecha, the lengthening of your days. So, kach im'ono helchem mevatim imenu. How much worse so if we stop learning Teira, Allah has come and come, how much more so we're going to be dead. So Rabbi Kiva said, a Jew in Torah is like a fish in the water. So we might get caught by the Romans, we might not get caught by the Romans. But the Gemara continues, it didn't happen, so the ending was not so good. Amru, they said, the Hoya Yama Mo'atim, a few days around, Shetafsu the Rabbi Kiva. The attack of the Romans grabbed Rabbi Kiva for learning Torah. V'chafshu be'beisah asudim. And they put him into prison. And at the same time, the Tafsul of Papas ben Yehuda, they also arrested Papas ben Yehuda, the one that told Rabbi Kiva, "Why are you doing this?" V'chavshu etzli, and they put him in prison next to Rabbi Kiva. Amalei, so Rabbi Kiva said to him, "Papas, mi aviyachal lekan? Papas, who brought you here? What are you sitting here for?" Amalei, so Papas said to Rabbi Kiva, "Ashgeach Rabbi Akiva. Praiseworthy are you, Rabbi Akiva. You're so lucky. Shinit fasta, that at least you're sitting in prison. Al divrei Teira for learning. Eila lepapas, woe is the papas, meaning woe is to me. Shinit fasta dvarim betelim, that he was caught for dvarim betelim. Now, there's a whole thing over here. Why would Taka Pappas? Pappas ben Yehuda, he brings on over here a whole story in the Bhagavad Gemara and Tainus. Pappas ben Yehuda was extremely great tzaddik. Mm-hmm. To the extent, if you notice before in the Gemara, when he was speaking to Rabbi Akiva, he didn't say Rabbi Akiva. Mm-hmm. He called him Akiva. That means he was his colleague. Mm-hmm. So obviously he was a very great person. If not, he wouldn't have said to him, Akiva, what do you know? Why are you learning Torah? Mm-hmm. But he brings down the Gemara and Tainus. There are two brothers, Pappas and Lulanias. And there was Mamish great tzaddikim. What happened was, somebody killed the emperor's daughter. Somebody murdered the emperor's daughter. And they blamed the Jews. And they said they were going to do retribution. If the killers don't come forward, they're going to kill out the Jewish nation. So Pappas and Lulinius, who basically did not do it, they're mamish innocent, but they didn't want the Jews to get killed. So they came and they said, we did it. And the whole story of here, therefore he was a great tzaddik and so on and so forth. That was it. So when Pappas now is sitting in prison for killing, officially for killing, he said, at least you're sitting for Torah. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting, he wanted to play it down. He said, I'm sitting for nothing. Meaningless. Huh?
He didn't kill him. He killed the dog. He said to
Dvarim betel means for idle things, for nothing. Right.
It's the same thing for Hitler. It came in a lot of people.
Right.
Same thing.
Where were they at the time? I mean, here.
Rome.
No,
no, no. I'm sorry. No, they were in Eretz Yisrael, but it was under Roman rule. Okay. Rabbi Akiva lived in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, he lived in Bnei Brak. Rabbi Akiva was the Rav of Bnei Brak. Huh. But there was the whole Eretz Yisrael that time was under Roman rule.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering.
So they caught him. They made a decree. So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, "B'shosh ha'hetzis Rabbi Akiva lahariga." When they took Rabbi Akiva out to kill him, the Romans took him out to kill him. Ringing? Yeah, why not? B'shosh etzias Rabbi Akiva lahariga. What's your father's name? You're speaking to him. Okay, I'll say Kaddish for your father, no problem. Right, okay. Fine. Take care. Bye. Yeah.
There is a question if he should do it.
Right. 1 second, we're going to see Taki. Yeah. In fact, some of us should learn the reason why Pappas ben Yehuda was arrested, mm-hmm. because he didn't answer Rabbi Akiva that he shouldn't have done it anyway. Should have answered him in a way that he shouldn't have done it. Yeah. Anyway, the Gemara says, "B'shoshe tzias Rabbi Akiva lariga," when they took Rabbi Akiva out to kill him. Zman Krishma was at the time of learning the Shema time. They were combing his flesh with iron combs. They didn't just kill him. They tortured Rabbi Akiva to death. And he was in the middle of saying the Shema of El Malchus Shemayim Hashem Echad. Amru, the Tamidim that saw what was going on, they said, Rabbeinu Adkan, even to this extent, your mamish having such level of mesiras nefesh that you're how do you ever concentrate on Shema when they're torturing you to death? Amalem is another very famous gemara. Amalehem, so Rabbi Akiva answered to his students, "Kol yom ayayisim etzayir pasik zeh. My whole life I was troubled by this pasuk. It says, "B'chol nafshecha afilu neitos nafshecha." The b'chol nafshecha, like Rabbi Kiva said, even if they kill you. So, and v'amati, I said to myself, "Masa yavei liyadi v'kamen." When will I have the opportunity to have this mesiras nafesh? In other words, it says in the Torah, you have to love God even to mesiras nafesh. So Rabbi Kiva said, my whole life I was waiting for the opportunity to have mesiras nafesh for God. He says, and now it comes to my hands that I have the opportunity to do mesiras nafesh. I shouldn't do it. And as Rabbi Kiva said, my whole life I was waiting for this opportunity to die for the sake of Hashem. So now that I'm doing it, now that it's finally coming, I shouldn't be happy like and be able to accept the yoke of Hashem. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva was lengthening the word echod, that his soul died when he said the word echod. A baskel came out from heaven and said, Asherach Rabbi Akiva, fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, Shiyasasa Nishmasa Be'echot, that your neshama departed when you said Echot. In other words, look how great you are, that you were meditating on godliness and you died. Omnu Malachi Asharas of Neakarish Baruch. So Malachim couldn't handle this. And the angel said to Hashem, Zu Teira Vizu Schara. Is this Teira and this is the reward? The Gemara says about Rabbi Kiva that he learned thousands of halachas, hundreds and thousands of halachas on the crowns of the letters and everything. Rabbi Kiva was Meisha Rabbeinu number two, so to speak. And this is Tayt, and this is the reward what you do. And it says in the Pasuk, Mimsim Yotcha Hashem Mimsim, to be among those who die by your hand, Hashem, who die of old age. Not Rabbi Kiva, by the way, was 120 when he died. Amalehem, so Hashem answered to them, Chalkom b'chayim. Their portion is eternal life. Don't worry about Rabbi Kiva. He died a physical life. But, like he says, Yatus Abaskel, a voice came out from heaven, V'amr and said, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, your fortune, Rabbi Akiva, Shatam Mezumen L'chayim Lam Abba, that you're ready for the life, for the world to come. There's a lot of interesting, this is the story in the Gemara, about Rabbi Akiva with the fish, and Rabbi Akiva getting Mesiras Nefesh. B'chlal, he brings down over here at the bottom a number of interesting things. Number one, there were 10 martyrs that were killed by the Romans. Do we know Asara Ruge Malchus? We read it Yom Kippur in the Davening, and we read it Tisha B'Av in the Kinnis. But the 10 martyrs that died. So Rabbeinu Bechaya writes that these 10 martyrs were all killed by the Romans, but not at the same time. The Bosh should say, historically, all those 10 didn't live at the same time. But they were all killed during the Mishnah era, when the Jews were under Roman rules. That's number one. Then they ask another question. How did Rabbi Kiva talk to his students if he was middle of Shema? Said Rabbi Kiva was doing Shema, and the students asked him, how could you do this? If he was middle of Shema, you're not allowed to talk. So they answered, they spoke to him before, when he was getting ready to accept the yoke of heaven. He quotes here Yerushalmi, that tells the story a little bit differently. Then Agamar tells the story. Rabbi Kiva was being judged before the wicked Tanusvus, who was also one of the Roman emperors. And when the time of Shema arrived, Rabbi Kiva started laughing. Rabbi Kiva started saying Shema, and he was laughing. So he says, this wicked emperor Tanusvus turned to him and said, you're either a sorcerer, or you're making light of the suffering. He was torturing him to death. And what are you laughing? So Rabbi Kiva said, I'm not a source of nothing. I was waiting my whole life for this pasuk to become fulfilled, and therefore I'm laughing. So this explains the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Avraham Avinu. This week we start reading about Avraham Avinu. It says there's a big difference between Rabbi Kiva and Avraham Avinu. Both had Mesiras Nefesh for Yiddishkeit. See, this is Mesiras Nefesh for Yiddishkeit. The difference was Rabbi Akiva looked for Mesiras Nefesh. Avraham Avinu didn't look for Mesiras Nefesh. Avraham Avinu had a job, spread godliness. He didn't look for Mesiras Nefesh. If Mesiras Nefesh was demanded, like Nimrod threw him into the fire, he didn't look to be thrown into the fire like Rabbi Akiva. Avraham Avinu said, I have to serve Hashem. I don't want Mesiras Nefesh, but if it takes Mesiras Nefesh, I'll have that also. So Chassidus explains that Avraham Avinu in this respect was greater than Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva looked for it for his own completion. I mean, it's a very lofty level, not, God forbid, knocking Rabbi Kiva in any way. But Rabbi Kiva wanted, Rabbi Kiva said, I was troubled by this pasuk. My whole life I was waiting that I can fulfill this pasuk of Mesiras Nefesh. Avraham Avinu didn't even want that. Avraham Avinu said, what Hashem wants is what Hashem gets. Whatever way it comes, if Mesiras Nefesh, Mesiras Nefesh, whatever it is, that's what I'm going to do.
The Akaidah was a Mesiras Nefesh.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. So the Kim Nisus Avram.
Yitzhak was the one that he had a Mesiras Nefesh, not Avram.
Mr. Nefesh of Yitzchak.
Yes.
Yeah, but everybody asks this question. Because, see, according to the movies and to the books, the secular books, you see a picture of Avraham Avinu taking his little boy to the Akedah. Mm-hmm. Yitzchak at the Akedah was 37.
37?
He was a big boy. He's a man. 37. So the Mefarshim ask, what's the big deal? Why is it Avraham Avinu's test? It should be Yitzchak's test. There's a lot of answers. But the simple answer, that with the expression they entered, it's harder to live like a Jew than to die like a Jew. To die like a Jew, you die once. Yitzchak, if he would have died for the Akedah, would have died once. Avraham Avinu had to live with it. He had to live with it on a continuous basis. Mm-hmm. So therefore it's considered the Mesiras Nefesh of Avraham rather than the Mesiras Nefesh of Yitzchak. But there's another interesting point over here that a lot of the Mefarshim ask, how was Rabbi Kiva able to do what he did? Yeah. Rabbi Kiva died for learning Torah. Yeah. We know there's three Averis you have to give up your life for: idolatry, adultery, and murder, and that's it. Mm-hmm. According to Halacha, if somebody says, yeah, don't learn Torah, else I'll kill you, mm-hmm, so Halacha says you're not supposed to learn Torah. Mm-hmm. In fact, this is how some of Farshim learn, why didn't Pappas Ben Yehuda, mm-hmm, when he asked Rabbi Kiva, how are you risking your life to learn Torah? And Rabbi Kiva gave him the analogy with the fish. Mm-hmm. Pappas Ben Yehuda should have answered Rabbi Kiva, yeah, but the Torah says you're still not allowed to give up your life for Torah. Mm-hmm. It's only idolatry, adultery, and murder. Mm-hmm. So the question is, how did Rabbi Kiva, not only potentially, but he actually died for learning Torah, if Halacha says you're not allowed to?
No, Pappas shouldn't have done it either in that case.
Huh? Pappas Ben Yehuda, no, they arranged, he didn't give up his life, they mamash arrested him.
Yes, but he said,
oh, that is from...
Rabbi Kiva died because he took the punishment of his daughter.
Yes, well, not Rabbi Kiva, the other Pappas Ben Yehuda. But you know something, it's like an interesting Shaila. If Pappas Ben Yehuda asked a Shaila, what happened was, you missed it, the Roman Emperor's daughter was killed, and they wanted to kill out the entire Jewish nation, mm-hmm, unless if the murderers would come forward. And Pappas Ben Yehuda and his brother, who didn't do it, came forth and said, mm-hmm, we did it. So eventually they were killed, Taka, and at least the Jews were saved. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch that if Goyim come to a city, mm-hmm, and they say, we want to kill A and B, give us A and B, we want to kill them. And if you don't give us A and B, we're going to kill out the whole city. So what do? So Halacha says you don't give up any Jewish life. You don't do it. Either going to kill out the whole city, it doesn't matter. Halachically, you don't give up people for going to kill. So technically, if Pappas Ben Yehuda asked the Shad if he should do it or not, the answer would have been no. But he did it. Now, this is also part of this whole argument between the Rambam and many other Mefarshim. He brings it down here very briefly, but there's much more in this thing about, for instance, when the Torah says you have to give up your life for three Avedas, and for the other Avedas you're not allowed to give up your life. That means, according to Allah, let's speak to the practical case. If somebody comes to you with a gun and says, desecrate Shabbos, Russ, I'll kill you, so Allah says emphatically you have to desecrate Shabbos. Is a person allowed to give up his life and say, kill me? And Halacha says desecrate Shabbos. But if a person says, no, I don't want to desecrate Shabbos, kill me, is he called suicide? Or is he called a holy guy? If somebody dies, Moshe, if somebody says to some Badan tonight, also kill you, and he says no, and he gets killed, he's a Kaddish, he's a holy guy. Go straight to Gan Eden. So now the question is, what happens if somebody says, desecrate Shabbos, also kill you, and the guy says, kill me, and he gets killed? What is he? Suicide or holy? So the Rambam writes, you're not allowed to do it.
Just say it.
You're not allowed to get killed. Right, you're not allowed to get killed. And most of the Rishonim hold, the Torah says you don't have to, but if you want to, you could. And you're holy. So that's one thing over here to keep in mind. And then there's another thing from the Mashah, that the Mashah also quotes the Rambam, that this whole din of giving up your life and not getting killed is only if it's a private issue. But if the government is doing it to uproot Judaism, so then the din is even an arkas of the Mesana, even on a different colored shoelace, you have to give up your life. The goyim used to have one color shoelace, and they made the Jews wear another color shoelace. And if the goyim made the Jew wear a certain color shoelace that the Jew wouldn't be allowed to, if they're doing it to uproot Yiddishkeit, even for a shoelace, which is not even a mitzvah, you have to give up your life and not get killed. And the answer, some of us answer with Rabbi Kiva, the fact that the Romans made the decree, not because of Rabbi Kiva as an individual, that he should learn Torah or not. They wanted to uproot Yiddishkeit, so then even on any Aveda, you have an obligation to give up your life. And another answer is that even though Rabbi Kiva, is, if he wants to, he's allowed to do it.
Provided you don't ask. If you go and ask a Shaila, then they tell you go and you do it, then
I don't know. Bechad is an interesting...
Rabbi Kiva didn't know that, but they didn't.
There's an interesting thing in the Pasuk in yesterday's Parsha. It speaks about the man who kills a man, I will shed their blood. Shefech dam adam badam dam yishefech. And Hashem says, I'm going to take revenge. Kibitzalam lakim, because the person was born in the image of God. That's basically the source that you're not allowed to do suicide. Okay, that's the source in Chumash why suicide is forbidden. So there's a whole argument in the Rishonim. What happens if a Jew sees he's getting killed by Goyim? He's going to get killed. Is he allowed to kill himself before he gets killed by Goyim? That he should die not by the hands of Goyim to give him the satisfaction that he's going to die by a Jewish hands and taking his own life? Mm-hmm. A massive machlekes. And they quote stories from Tanakh. Shaul HaMelech was being chased by the Plishtim, mm-hmm. and he was going to get killed. Mm-hmm. By the Plishtim, they finally caught up to him and they were going to kill him. And Shaul HaMelech turned to his servant and said, I don't want to die by the hands of Goyim, kill me. Mm-hmm. And the guy said, I'm not going to kill you. Mm-hmm. So Shaul HaMelech took his sword, put it in the ground, with the blade up, and he fell on top of the sword and he killed himself. So they proved from there that you could. Then they screamed the opposite way, that there are stories that they're about to do it. They get killed, and instead of the Goyim killing them, and the bottom line was the Goyim ran away at the last second. So if they would have killed themselves, they would have all been dead, and like this, the Goyim wouldn't have killed them. Mm-hmm. There'd been a whole massive machlekes in the Rishonim, is that suicide, is it not suicide? See, it's similar to this whole thing. If somebody gets killed for somebody they're not allowed to get killed for, is it suicide or isn't it suicide? So the Rambam holds it is, another Pesukim, right? It's not. I mean, it's a whole... Yeah. That's the whole, they bring that down in Halacha as the source. Yeah. That the Shaila is, were they halachically correct or incorrect?
See,
it's not so simple.
This is
it's a big, way, massive machlekes.
This is the way that people, the Nazis kill, and somebody is alive. A group of people. They kill a, and somebody was shot and was laying under the bed people.
In the night.
They came.
Right.
After they left, he picked up himself and he's alive.
So he brings down a taste of state. So although one is not obligated to give his life to the performance of a minor mitzvah, one is permitted to go beyond the call of duty and do so. And that's why some of us, that's what Rabbi Kiva did. But the Rambam holds not like that. It's not, like we said, it's a massive argument with all these types of mm-hmm. Jews taking their own life for various reasons. If they're allowed to, they're not allowed to.
What about kidnapping?
What do you mean?
if somebody were to kidnap, God forbid, you know, a son or a daughter, how does it apply to this?
Their own son or daughter?
Yeah. I mean, do you allow, I mean, would you, because you just said that you're not allowed to, I mean, you, no, what did you say? You said you're not allowed to shed, to allow the person to die.
Right.
Or you did say it was okay.
If they're going to be killed by Goyim?
Yeah.
It's a big argument in halacha. Most people say no.
Who knows? By a kill. Maybe the devil still survive.
That's the whole shaila.
Yeah.
What you think? Well, kidnapping who from whom?
Well, what I'm saying is, God forbid, if somebody had a son and that son is kidnapped by just anybody for money.
Right.
Okay. Is the obligation to just do whatever you can to...
To ransom him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Unless, if it's getting to a point that the goyim are doing it in order to get money.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, mm-hmm. there's a famous story with the Merami Rutenberg.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Merami Rutenberg was really one of the people that they say that composed the Tesis the way we have it today.
Mm-hmm.
That's what some people say. The Merami Rutenberg was the father-in-law of the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher.
Mm-hmm.
The Merami Rutenberg was the Rav of Rutenberg in Germany, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the Goyim kidnapped him because the Goyim wanted to get big ransom monies from the Jews. And they kidnapped him, and they knew he was the leader of the not only the community, but basically the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew they would get a lot of money. And they threw him into prison. And his son-in-law, the Rosh, and his son and children and people were coming, and students came to collect money to ransom him out. And they came to him finally and said, "We almost have the whole money." He said, "I forbid you to ransom me out. Because if they keep doing this, they're going to take other rabbis and they're going to do the same thing. I refuse." He refused to be ransomed out.
Mm-hmm.
He died in jail.
Mm-hmm.
His body was stayed in jail. They didn't let it out for burial, I think, for something like 22 years after he died.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even let out the body for burial. And finally, at the end, the Jews ransomed out the body to bring him to burial. But he refused. He says, if they do it to me, they're going to keep doing it, and they get the money, so they'll keep doing it. So if the purpose is, as an individual case, yeah, pinyan shvuyim is the biggest mitzvah. The biggest mitzvah is pinyan shvuyim, getting your prisoners out of things. But if they keep doing it for the sake of getting money, and they'll keep doing it, if they keep getting money, so then Allah says you don't do it.
Pinyan shvuyim is... If they did a sin that they killed somebody else, it doesn't apply.
No. I mean, the law doesn't always apply. I mean, it. Okay. The next piece of Gemara. Then, the Gemara is going back into the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, it said, Le'yaykel Adam al Israshay, a person may not be lightheaded, act lightheadedly, Keneged Shara Mizrach, opposite the eastern gate of the Harabayis,
mm-hmm.
which is opposite the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Okay, so a person cannot be lightheaded in the place where you see the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies of the Beis HaMikdash.
Mm-hmm.
Amr Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav. Mm-hmm. When did the Chachamim say this din? Only minat seifim lefnim. If there's a certain mountain they're able to overlook, Yerushalayim. 1 second.
Drink so much.
Somebody was going acrobatics on his thumb. Everything we do here.
They were frailer, but not wrong.
Anything we do here.
They were frailer. Not drunk. Has a shirt.
Drunk. So you don't know what's up, what's down. My question was, what was the time in Beis HaMikdash? In the Simchat Torah, when they used to get drunk in Beis HaMikdash, or they didn't?
They didn't do Simchas Torah in the Beis HaMikdash. The custom of Simchas Torah happened after the Beis HaMikdash. After, much after. There's no mention of Simchas Torah anywhere in the Gemara. They didn't get drunk.
They didn't get drunk?
No, they were celebrating.
Yeah. Celebrating for 7 days, 7 nights without sleeping, but no drinks?
Right. They're able to do it without it.
No, to be happy, you don't need the mashke.
Right.
In those days, you're able to do it without it.
Without, yeah.
Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav, Le'omer al min ha-tzeifim lefnim, it's only applied to the tzeifim, the overlook, where they're able to see the Kedosh HaKadoshim. Then you can't act lightheadedly. Uberei, and also if you can see the temple, the Beis HaMikdash. But if you're on the opposite side, that you can't see the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't matter. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rababa b'Reid Rabchia b'It Menami. So we learned Amar Rababa b'Reid Rabchia b'Rabba Ochi Amar Rabbi Yechon. So Rabbi Yechon also said, Le'yavel min ha-tzeifim lefnim. This did applies only min ha-tzeifim lefnim. No, it's still done. Yeah. Obedei, and also, and you see it. Ukshein gathered if there's no wall. If there's no wall, then also it applies. And also, Bizman Shechina Sheira, only in the time when the Shechina was resting there. Meaning only in the time when there's actually a Beis HaMikdash. But much according to these opinions, today it doesn't apply. This is meanwhile. Tan Rabban Rabbanan learned. Hanifna B'Yehuda, and this is going to sound, you know, the Gemara coming up now is all about going to the bathroom and all these types of things, but it's Tayyidah and we got to learn it in the proper perspective. Hanifna B'Yehuda, if somebody goes to the bathroom, okay, in the area of Yehuda, Le'yifna Mizrach Ma'irav, he shouldn't go to the bathroom while he's facing east or west, because that's facing the Beis HaMikdash. Ela Tzofim V'Darim, he should stand south, north to south. Why? Because the Yehuda was facing the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. So if you face east or west, you'd be facing the Beis HaMikdash. So you should stand north or south. Ubagolo, and in the Galilee, which was in a different direction to the Beis HaMikdash, La'yifna ela mizrach ma'ariv, you should only go to the bathroom facing east or west. Because then you're not facing the Beis HaMikdash. But north and south, you would be. Rabbi Yisi Matir, Rabbi Yisi permits in that you could. Why? Shayer Rabbeisi Emer, because Rabbeisi said the whole iset, the whole forbidden thing is only only if you see it. If you see the Beis HaMikdash, and also b'makom shein shem geder, where there's no fence, and also b'zman sheshchina shayda, in the time when the Shechina is resting. But therefore today he says it doesn't apply. Chachamim Eisim, the Chachamim Asim. So the question is, Chachamim Hainu Tanakama. The Mishnah says as follows. You can't. Rabbi Yisi says you could. Chacham said you can't. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between the first opinion and the third opinion? Mm-hmm. Okay, first it says you can't. Rabbi Yisi says you could. Chacham said you can't. What's the difference between the first and the third? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, Ika benayu tzedadim. The question is, if you could do it in a way of the sides. In other words, not straight east, not straight west, or north and south. So he said, Tanakama holds that you can't. And the Chachamim at the end hold that you could. It's only if you do east or west, you can't. But if it's off at the side, then you would be allowed to.
Somebody didn't have compasses?
They did have compasses, by the way. Or they know, I mean, you can tell. I mean, listen, you know which way is north, you don't have a compass.
No, I understand, but do east or do west, it's pretty precise.
How did they daven in the olden days, facing Yerushalayim east, west? By the way, the same thing is in the opposite way in davening. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to face Yerushalayim, right? So we're west of Yerushalayim, so we face east, right? The people today in Israel that are south of Yerushalayim face north. The people north face south. People east face west.
Mm-hmm. And what if you're in Yerushalayim? If you were right in the Beit HaMikdash, where would you face? Where the Ark is?
Yeah, Kodesh HaKadoshim. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So today, people face in all directions, depending where you are, that's the direction you face.
Well, in Asia, yeah, you face going east. Mm-hmm.
Whatever, I mean,
west.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
West, whatever.
If you're in Hong Kong.
Yeah. Because it's not, it's Okay.
Yeah.